change is 291 pounds. And when Change steps into this ring, all he can hear over and over again is feed me more, feed me more, feed me more. Ryback is not an individual who will come out here and talk about an unreachable brass ring. Ryback is not a man who will come out here and complain about some political conspiracy theory, and Ryback sure as hell will not come out here and promise you a revolutionary Monday Night Raw and ice cream bars to boot. Ryback stands for one thing. That is destruction. And this Sunday, the face of the WWE will change.
I don't believe any two superstars can generate the type of emotion among our fans that these two men.
Really?
You're listening to Smack Talk Radio Live.
The best there is.
Hey, yo.
The best there was.
I may have got knocked stupid, but I think there's still some people cheering out there.
And the best there ever will be.
Your source for news.
When I look around that locker room, the only true challenge I have left is ending the streak.
Views and opinions on everything wrestling.
Now think about that. I slapped Vince McMahon in the face.
Oh my God, the Undertaker going to the top of the cage.
From the big leagues to the local scene.
The Bollywood boys, we don't take the SkyTrain.
Now.
Really? I was handed nothing. I busted my ass and I sacrificed for this business.
Here's James McDonald.
And you need to learn to worship the ground I walk on.
Really?
And Corey Callahan.
I'm the host of it. And you're not. Now you get out of here right now.
My microphone constantly cuts out.
It doesn't matter what you think.
I'll stop you right there. I'm already sick of hearing you talk. You egomaniac.
It's time.
Thursday evening, Smack Talk Radio Live back on the radio once again. This is the best in wrestling talk radio. We're sitting in the Smack Talk studios. I'm Corey Callahan, sitting next to the man, James McDonald. James, how are you doing tonight, my friend?
I'm doing fantastic as always, buddy. I am glad to be here to talk for the next 45 minutes. There it is, first one right there. Talk for the next 45 minutes about the week that it was in professional wrestling. Break it all down for you.
We are live tonight.
Yes, we are.
And what an unbelievable show we have tonight. We are previewing ECCW's Halloween Hell. Two big, or should I say massive, interviews lined up. Casey Spinelli and Moondog Manson, both from ECCW.
Should be good, my friend. Should be
Not
good.
Not too bad. Now, what else is going on in the news before we jump into the meat of the matter, should I
well,
say?
Well, I got to say, you know, I'm a little bit disappointed that the NHL and the NHLPA couldn't come to some sort of agreement by today, because I believe it was the cutoff today to salvage a full 82-game season for the NHL. And, you know, I don't know. I'm just at the point where I think I'm with most people saying that, you know, I'm just beyond caring at this point, you know?
I don't know. I'm starting to miss hockey. And for some reason, I can't get into the junior hockey that they're showing on television, but I'm trying.
I mean, you're not getting into the KHL and European leagues that they're starting to show on TV?
Not so much.
No?
How about the weather outside? Has summer officially ended and fall officially upon us?
Well, it is almost the end of October.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It is getting a little colder outside. Halloween's just around the corner as well, James. Have you decided what you're going to be for Halloween?
I don't know. I haven't got that far yet. Don't know if I'll have a costume or not. What about you?
I think I'm just going to sit in my backyard with my outdoor fire pit and just light off some fireworks. Something I rarely ever do on Halloween.
Well, you don't really need a costume. You're a costume into yourself, so.
When you're already this great, how can you dress up and be even greater? I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. That's all I can think of. www.smacktalkradiolive.com, facebook.com/smacktalkradio. And if you're not on Twitter already, just get the hell out of here. At SRL Radio.
That's right. What's going on?
We're also giving away two tickets tonight to Halloween Hell, which happens this Saturday in New Westminster at the Sapperton Pensioners Hall. We've asked the fans to write in, give us their thoughts and opinions on the week it was, to onair@smacktalkradiolive.com.
What? Have we all lost our mind? We're giving away three tickets?
And that's happening tonight by the end of the show, so there's still time to get your emails in. But a lucky listener will be heading to Halloween Hell this weekend. Not bad.
Sounds good to me, my friend.
How about Monday Night Raw this week? James, your thoughts?
Well, it wasn't a very strong Monday Night Raw, especially considering that it was the go-home Raw for Hell in a Cell happening this Sunday. Mm-hmm. Like I just said, not a very strong Raw.
It also doesn't help that my PVR completely cut out one whole hour of Monday Night Raw.
That kind
of
blew.
Now, is that a bad thing or is that a blessing in disguise?
Maybe a little column A, a little bit of column B.
All right, well, we'll get into Monday Night Raw a little later. But first, let's catch everyone up with the business of the business, something we like to call the Post-to-Post Report.
Catching you up with the business of the business. It's time for the Post-to-Post Report.
All right, James. We're going to start the Post-to-Post Report this week with the boring stuff.
I love the boring stuff.
Well, if it's not your cup of tea, but if it is, it might be a little interesting. Tonight, we're going to kick off the report talking Linda McMahon.
Oh, Linda.
Now, as many of you know, the former WWE CEO is running for Senate as a Republican in the state of Connecticut. She's locked in a very close race with Democrat Chris Murphy in what many could say could be a swing state, deciding if Republicans would hold Senate majority or not. You still following? Without getting too complicated, currently Chris Murphy is leading the likely voter poll at 49-43%, where just a week ago, McMahon was leading 48-47%. Things can change at a moment, and it's a race down to the wire. Now, everything seems fair game, though, in Connecticut, as many questions are being raised about Linda's background with the WWE. Some critics have questioned Linda's finance dealings with her previous employer, raising concerns over taxes paid and state tax credits. Overall, though, Linda's campaign, she spent nearly $28.5 million on the current Senate race, with Murphy's camp spending a mere $6.2 million. November 6th is the U.S. presidential election.
You know, that just blows my mind how much more money that she's dumped into her campaign here as opposed to her opponent. And that just seems to be the state of, you know, before I get into a long diatribe here, that just seems to be the state of politics in America nowadays, where it's just like the candidate who dumps more money into their campaign seems to have a better chance.
Well, she did it back in 2010 and was unsuccessful, so that doesn't necessarily ring true. What's interesting, though, James, is Linda McMahon, it's reported that Linda McMahon has actually paid $27 million of her own personal money to this campaign.
Man, that just blows my mind.
Bringing her personal contribution to both this Senate race and the previous Senate race in which she lost to $77 million.
People with more money than they know what to do with it.
Well, we're going to find out November 6th.
Well, it was announced Wednesday that CM Punk will collaborate with Marvel Comics to write the intro to the upcoming hardcover edition of the comic book Avengers vs. X-Men. It is described as CM Punk providing insight into the new landscape of the Marvel Universe. CM Punk said, quote, "To say I'm flattered to write the intro for the biggest comic book crossover would be, well, it wouldn't be me. But it makes sense. Best superheroes in the world? Check. Best writers in the world? Check. Best artists in the world? Check. Best wrestler in the world? Well, that's me. Now, the limited edition comic, this comes out in November, and I'm telling you, I am going to buy a copy for sure."
Yeah, this is right up your alley. You love comic books.
I love comic books, absolutely.
It's fascinating because the comic book audience and the wrestling audience seem so well connected. You know, on last week's show when we talked to Cyrus of the Trailer Park Boys, we made that connection of that audience with the wrestling audience and how there are the comparisons. Definitely the same with wrestling. Comic book fans are probably also wrestling fans and vice versa, so this seems like a no-brainer. And to put CM Punk in the mix is just adding to the mainstream attention that he's getting. Solid move by WWE and Marvel Comics.
Absolutely.
The Cauliflower Alley Club announced former WWE Women's Champion Molly Holly as their 2013 Women's Wrestling honoree. She will receive the award at their next reunion, which takes place April 15th to 17th in 2013. And this is, of course, held in Las Vegas, Nevada. Molly Holly, she's kept away from the wrestling scene mostly since leaving the WWE in 2005, other than making the occasional guest referee appearances locally and that one-night return at WrestleMania 25.
Oh, good for her. Cauliflower Alley Club.
I was always a big fan of Molly Holly.
She was a very... my opinion on women's wrestling. I love women's wrestling, but she was definitely one of the stronger workers out there. Mm-hmm. So.
Very good.
Now a little bit of a sad story here. Daytona Beach police confirmed that Michael Gossett, better known in professional wrestling as Mike Graham, was found dead Thursday while in town visiting for a biker rally. Now it's reported that the 61-year-old may have died from an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. Graham's wife told police that the former wrestler had threatened to commit suicide frequently ever since his son did so 2 years prior. Now, Graham's father, Eddie Graham, an influential Florida wrestling promoter, he also committed suicide back in 1985.
Just a sad, sad story.
It is. It's very sad. Now, if you're wondering how this, you know, where you might have seen Mike Graham before, he was prominent in the AWA back in the 80s, where he was the light heavyweight champion. And then when his father, Eddie, he got inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame, if you remember, back in 2008. Mm-hmm. And it was actually Mike that was there for the presentation during the Hall of Fame ceremony, and then the next night at WrestleMania.
Terrible news and terrible story to go with that family.
It's always sad to see somebody take their own life.
Now, according to the Wrestling Observer newsletter, WrestleMania 28, it will end up being the single most purchased pro wrestling pay-per-view in event history.
And rightfully so.
Updated numbers indicate WrestleMania 28 doing 1.25 million buys, 700,000 of those being domestic, and 520,000 being internationally. This international number would beat the all-time record by a significant amount. Now, WrestleMania 28, which was, of course, held in Miami, Florida, it beats out the previous holder, WrestleMania 23 in 2007, which featured Donald Trump. In the end, 1.3 million buys rounded up, it claims the title of the biggest pay-per-view ever.
And rightfully so. I mean, you and I were both there live, as everybody knows, and what a fantastic experience it was. And honestly, I think it really had to do with the year-long build between Cena and The Rock. What do you think?
Totally. And the fact that you and I were there in the building.
Well, that definitely had
That's
to help.
That's worth the price of buying the pay-per-view
that
itself.
That had to help, of course.
Now, in terms of financials this week, the WWE stock price closed at $8.14 a share today, with news coming this week that the WWE will announce their third quarter results on November 1st at 11 a.m. Eastern Time.
Interesting. I wonder if we'll hear more about the ill-fated WWE Network.
We are expected to get some news on the WWE Network, and if they don't announce anything, it's expected that the listeners that are listening to the conference call, the investors, I should say,
right,
they're going to start pressuring them with some questions.
Well, rightfully so.
Now, in terms of television ratings this week, quickly, WWE Saturday Morning Slam, one of their newest programs on television, it drew its biggest audience ever on October 13th, scoring a 0.8 rating with 1.24 million viewers. This would be considered a huge success for a Saturday morning program, which featured the likes of Sin Cara versus Jinder Mahal and Justin Gabriel versus The Miz. And in terms of Monday Night Raw this week, the October 22nd edition, it scored a 2.48 rating, down from a 2.79 last week. And get this, James, it's their worst rating since 1997 for a non-holiday episode.
Jeez, and they had Cena and Vince McMahon and everything.
Not good. The show had an average viewership of 3.55 million viewers, which is down 11% from last week, marking a new year low.
Man.
It also marks the 10th consecutive week where the third hour dropped off from the second hour, reflecting possible viewer fatigue.
It's gotta be. But then again, they had a lot of competition on Monday night. They had the baseball game. They had, of course, Monday Night Football. And then you had your last presidential debate. So a lot of competition on Monday.
What do you say about the TV ratings? It's, to me, it's an accurate reflection. That's just my personal opinion.
Okay, I'll go with that.
Hope you're all caught up on the business of the business. That was the Post to Post report. I just want to throw in a side note here, James. I can't officially put it in the report this week because nothing is official, but it is rumored that the WWE is close to purchasing 1,200 hours of video footage from Mid-South Wrestling.
Oh, really?
This video library is currently owned by the family of Bill Watts, and it's reported that WWE would like to strike a deal with the family that would allow the company to use the footage on the upcoming, and if it ever happens, WWE Network, and in future DVD releases.
Now, I wonder what 1,200 hours of wrestling footage would go for. What's the price tag on something like that?
Really depends, because the way WWE markets their video library and, you know, the DVDs that they sell and the documentaries that they produce, you know, they make a lot of money off this video footage. So don't think that the Watts family isn't going to clue into that, right?
Yeah.
To be honest, we're in the millions of dollars. For sure. This is a $1 million transaction. Maybe 5, 6, maybe 10 million. I'm really not quite sure.
I wonder, do you think there'll be some kind of royalties worked in there?
Absolutely. It'll be a complicated agreement. It's not a simple one hand you a check and it's over sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's a complicated process. In fact, I believe that the WWE and the Watts family have been going at this for a few years trying to get this thing.
Trying to hammer something out, mm-hmm. Right.
So it should be interesting.
Interesting.
So there you go. Post to post report.
I'm caught up.
Are you?
I am.
I still feel not completely caught up.
Well, that's you every week.
I guess I'm just going to have to wait till next week. All right, well, let's just keep moving things along here. Let's start talking Monday Night Raw. Why don't we get into our favorite segment of the show, James? Tale of the Tape.
It's time for the Tale of the Tape.
Alrighty, Monday Night Raw this week. Now, you had said that you didn't mind Monday Night Raw, is that right?
Well, if I was going to give it an out of 10 rating like most people do, I'd have probably given it a 4. Because for a go-home Monday Night Raw, it wasn't very good. It didn't really sell me on buying the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view coming up on the weekend. But I can see they're starting to... the groundwork and the framework for things in the future here.
So. It is interesting when you put it into perspective that this is a go-home show for a pay-per-view, and you kind of do expect, you know, you expect to shore up the loose ends as you head into the pay-per-view. I mean, of course you want to...
kind of solidify the card a little bit,
You still want to leave people with cliffhangers, but
yes.
I said before that my PVR had cut off an hour of the Raw, of Monday Night Raw, I should say, and I'm going to go out on a limb now and make the official decision that I'm glad that happened. Although I did miss Justin Gabriel winning against Antonio Cesaro, and that was a bit of a disappointment to miss that match.
Yeah, that was very interesting to see a shocking upset like that.
But to me, the television ratings reflect a poor show, and I thought Monday Night Raw this week was poor. It wasn't doing it for me. And I'm not going to say it's because there was no John Cena, because to me that
John
just makes the show better.
John Cena was all over this show this week. All over it.
I don't know.
To be honest with you, Corey, I think we might have a contender for worst storyline of the year here.
Uh-oh.
We'll get into this here. Let's go.
Okay, all right. Well, let's start by talking, of course, the big story, the main event of Hell in a Cell.
Yes.
And that would be CM Punk versus Ryback. Interesting way to end Monday Night Raw. We just basically give what everyone wants to see, and that's Ryback manhandling the champion.
Just running over him.
Here's Ryback and CM Punk at the end of Monday Night Raw.
CM Punk trying to retreat. Nowhere to go. Much like Sunday inside the cell, there'll be nowhere to go. Oh, my God. Wow! Jeez, what power! Punk's body wrapped on the canvas. And CM Punk again trying to retreat. Lumberjacks won't let the champion go. Ryback is feasting on the WWE champion.
Look at the power. Look at the strength.
Down goes Punk and the rest of the Lumberjacks.
What's going to be left of CM Punk this Sunday in Atlanta? Inside Hell in a Cell. What is WWE titles at stake against Ryback's undefeated streak?
Ryback's a freak.
A freak he is, James, and I gotta ask you right off the bat, is this a main event worthy match to sell a pay-per-view?
What do you mean?
Are you buying the idea of Ryback versus CM Punk this Sunday?
I think I'm more interested to see how they're going to book the finish of this match than I am to actually see Ryback versus CM Punk. You know what I mean?
That is the attraction to this match. It's, are you actually going to put a belt or put the belt on this new guy who has just emerged and end the 340-something day streak of CM Punk to give it to this guy? Like, it's really a big question mark. The WWE has done well, in my opinion, of marketing a main event for this upcoming Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. For me, though, it's all the wrong reasons. Not all the wrong reasons, but it's not the right reasons why I should be looking forward to this match. For some reason, I'm not interested in the actual wrestling match itself.
Well, it's not going to be, it's not going to be a great match.
No.
People are just interested to see how it's going to end.
It's the last 30 seconds.
That's really all that people
are buying this pay-per-view for. And I know that's what a lot of people look forward to in wrestling in general, is the last 30 seconds of a match. But this, to me, rings more true. It really rings true here. Ryback has not impressed me in the ring. I don't care that he can put two guys on his back. I don't care that he can lift up CM Punk over his head.
Yeah.
He gets gassed early. I've said it before. I'm not that excited to see Ryback wrestle. You can debate me all you want on that, but I told you.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I am not sold on this Ryback guy. I mean, I can see the appeal that he has to the fans, but for me personally, it's like, you know, he hasn't proven himself to me on the mic, which is key. It's a huge thing if you're going to be a main event.
Three words.
Being good on the mic, that's a huge, huge, huge part of being a main event guy, and especially carrying the title forward.
Mm-hmm.
And really, what has he done to earn this spot? You know,
who knows? I mean, there's many ways you can go with this. And again, this is what the WWE has done right. You could have CM Punk beat him cleanly. You end this so-called supposed Ryback winning streak. You have CM Punk retain as a champion and possibly start looking towards The Rock or John Cena heading into the Royal, you know, down the road, obviously with Royal Rumble and that sort of thing. Or you go the opposite direction. You end CM Punk's title reign, you put the belt on this new superstar Ryback, and you go that direction. To me, if you are going to have CM Punk versus The Rock at the Royal Rumble, you want the title involved in that situation. That's just my opinion.
Well, The Rock already said he's going to be facing whoever holds the title. So if Ryback does beat CM Punk this Sunday, does that excite you for a Ryback versus Rock match possibly at the Royal Rumble? I'm not excited.
No,
for that
I'm
match.
Not because
I would way just... rather I would way rather see CM Punk versus The Rock.
And for that reason, it's why my vote this Sunday goes to CM Punk, because you have The Rock in the horizon. He is down the road. You got to look down the road, right? We've talked about this already. I firmly believe that Ryback is a bit of a temporary fill to sell a pay-per-view while John Cena is injured. You know, that's probably debatable as well, because again, I think he's done a good job of promoting the pay-per-view. He does look like a monster. I just, for some reason, I'm not sold on the guy yet. And for that reason alone,
he's unproven. He's unproven.
And I don't really hold that against him. The only thing I do hold against him leading into the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view is that moment that he had with Tensai. To me, that killed all momentum. And I hate to bring that back up again, but I can't forget that. It's something I keep seeing over and over again. And apparently, James, you were telling me that he did the same thing or something similar at a house show recently.
Yeah, apparently I was reading reports at a house show that he was going to give the shell shock maneuver to Paul Heyman, 5'7", 5'8", Paul Heyman, and he couldn't pick it up, and he tried it twice, and I know apparently there was a video posted on YouTube and the WWE got all over it right away.
And
they took it down right away because obviously they didn't want people.
Now, what if Ryback actually won this match clean?
Well, you know what? Then they're probably going to keep the belt on him for a while. And you know what? I don't know.
Is that a good idea in any way? Like, let's be realistic. Is it a good idea to put the belt on Ryback?
I don't think so. I honestly don't feel it would be a good idea. I would much rather see the title stay on CM Punk.
There is one good reason why they would do it, and that's to keep the winning streak alive, to keep this guy's momentum going, to make him look like an even bigger monster than he already does look. So that's a good reason.
Yeah, it's a good reason. But again, it all comes back to the point that he's unproven. And to me, I don't know, that's a big hit to his credibility. And if you're going to make somebody a champion, he's got to be credible, you know? That's just me personally. I don't know, that's just my personal feelings on it. But, you know, how are they going to deal with the finish to this match? I mean, they've really booked themselves into a corner here. I mean, on one hand, you can't end Ryback's losing streak because that'll just destroy all the mystique that this character has up to this point. But on the other hand, do you really want to take the belt off of CM Punk and just throw away all the tease up to a Punk Rock match at Royal Rumble?
And, no.
And see, the big problem that the WWE has here is that this is a Hell in a Cell match, which means there's no disqualifications.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So how do you do the end here?
Well, you can have outside interference. That's really a classic go-to maneuver when you book yourself into a corner.
Yeah.
Right? You could have... I mean, I hate to say it. I think everyone's kind of already thinking it, but I think people are thinking a Brock Lesnar return here.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I called it last week on the show, and it seems that my idea has really picked up steam around everywhere. But that would be the way I'd like to see them go, is to have some kind of outside interference or maybe some kind of stunt or something, you know, that just throws the match out in a no contest. But that's
maybe both men are too injured to compete or to continue.
Something, yeah.
If Brock Lesnar does come back, I would assume he would be associated with CM Punk because of Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
It's always possible that he could turn on Paul Heyman and CM Punk. I don't see that happening.
No,
I don't. But that's always a possibility in the back of your mind, right?
Right.
But could we be looking at a possible mega faction here with CM Punk, Brock Lesnar, and Paul Heyman?
That would be awesome. I would love that.
Really?
Hey, yeah, you know, that would be really good. I mean, I've said it on the past on the show, is we need something like that. We need, like, a heel stable. Like, you put together Punk and Lesnar, and you got Paul Heyman as the mouthpiece, and then you get two guys who are maybe on the mid-card, and that'll kind of lift them up a little bit, kind of Evolution style almost, right?
Now, of course, the X factor in this match would be the guy who was for a while in the running against facing CM Punk in the main event, and that would be John Cena. Does John Cena play a role in this match with Punk and Ryback?
Yeah, that's the next big question. There is, what role is Cena gonna have in this match? And
I don't think he's gonna have any. I personally don't think he's gonna have any, because from what I saw this past Monday on Raw, they're gonna put John Cena in a totally different direction. They're going to wrap him up with something else, and CM Punk and Ryback are going to do their thing, and then when the dust settles, you're going to see John Cena come back into the picture. That may not be until after WrestleMania, Royal Rumble or WrestleMania, because, you know, if CM Punk does finish with Ryback and starts focusing on The Rock, John Cena's going to have to get wrapped up in something else. Believe it or not, and I know this sounds crazy, but I am starting to see a possible... And I know there's no evidence at all to support this, but I'm seeing a possible John Cena versus Undertaker match at WrestleMania.
Really?
And that's only based off the fact that Punk and Rock are going to be involved with each other. It's coming down the line. They've hinted at it already. They foreshadowed it. I see it coming. I could see it carrying from Royal Rumble to WrestleMania. And if that's the case, John Cena would be looking for another big name opponent. We've never seen John Cena versus The Undertaker. I also know that The Undertaker's time is limited. There's rumors this week that Undertaker may not be fit to compete at all at this year's WrestleMania.
Yeah, apparently he really buggered up his hip reconstruction surgery in that match.
At last year's WrestleMania. Yeah. So time is limited with this guy, and you know at some point we have to see John Cena versus The Undertaker.
You think so?
So this could be the year, James.
There you go. You have it right here on Smack Talk. Yeah. Corey Callahan is calling John Cena versus The Undertaker at WrestleMania 29.
In the meantime, though, this Monday on Raw, we saw Cena go a completely different direction away from CM Punk and Ryback. Man. And let's get into this. But first, let's just hear what exactly happened.
I can't believe any of this. I mean, I know that there's a lot of things that I've done that I should have been fired for. And I said that out there, but not for this. They say I was fraternizing. John, Vicky said I had an affair.
Yeah, and you just let it go. She said that. I'm just, you know, I'm right off the top of my head. She said you were seeing somebody. Give me a name. I'll go in the locker room. I'll get them. We'll get their side of the story. Then it becomes she said, he said, and it's all allegations. John. And nothing means nothing, and you got your job back. It's that easy. You just gave up out there.
It was you.
Ooh. Did you see that one coming, James?
Puketastic.
Wait, you're not a fan of this. That was AJ. That was AJ Lee resigning as the general manager earlier in the evening based off the idea that Someone had told the board of directors that AJ was fraternizing with another employee within the WWE. That forced AJ to resign. Vince McMahon names Vicky Guerrero the one in charge of Monday Night Raw in a whole new role. Instead of Raw general manager, Vicky Guerrero is being labeled as the managing supervisor, which I can't
believe. What the hell does that mean?
And you have AJ wrapped in a scandal now, a bit of a love scandal with John Cena, or it's just business, as they're saying.
A business dinner.
Where do you even begin with this?
I wonder if Cena was wearing his business socks. Inside joke.
You've been waiting all week to say that. Where do you go with this? I'm thinking right off the bat, this is an obvious attempt to keep John Cena out of the ring for a little while, but keep him on television.
Right.
You can put him in a love triangle with AJ, or, you know, not a love triangle, but you can put him in a dilemma outside the ring with AJ, you know, and
maybe just to
and
keep
that's
him out
how
of
you
the
can
title picture for a little bit.
That's smart to me. That is smart what they've done there. What's not smart is they've thrown logic out the window with this storyline.
Oh, I am just fed up to the max with all these constant power struggles with the general manager position. Like, I've said this before on the show, I don't even think they need a general manager.
Well, what's the problem with what they've done here on Monday, James?
It defies logic because, you know, apparently fraternizing, I guess, with somebody on the roster is a conflict of interest, so that's why she had to resign her position. But then you go and make Vicky Guerrero this managing supervisor, and they totally ignore the fact that when she was in a position of power, if you remember, back in, I think it was 05, she was a general manager and she was married to Edge. So is that not a conflict of interest?
Since when was fraternizing with other talent in the locker room against the rules?
Yeah.
I mean, for God's sakes, we've seen everyone do it. That's what doesn't make sense to me. And here you have Vicky Guerrero, a woman who sleeps with the wrestler she manages. And that's okay? But AJ can't go out for dinner? And, you know, they're just gonna get rid of her in her position based off something they've heard?
Yeah.
Or apparently there's evidence, I guess? To me, it's just like it's just a complete 180.
I don't know.
And it's logic has been thrown out.
I don't know. The story just feels so high school to me, and it's like, man, it's not what I want to see on Monday Night Raw, you know?
Now, how about the what about the role managing supervisor?
Like, what is a managing supervisor, and how exactly does this fit into the power hierarchy within the WWE?
I made the comparison to Red Robin earlier this week on Twitter, James.
Yeah.
You know, you're the managing supervisor of Raw. What's next? You're going to be the shift leader of Raw? Because that's what it's like at Red Robin. You have managing supervisors, and then you have shift leaders just below them. It's just like a made-up title. And to me, it's completely laughable, even probably to the guy himself who reinstated Vicky Guerrero into that position of power. Vince, listen to what Vince had to say about this.
There was some incriminating evidence, okay, if you want to call that.
A business dinner? You've never had a business dinner?
Look, John, all I can tell you is, as far as this is concerned, I mean, you got a situation where it's, if it wasn't this, it would be something else. AG was on probation. I mean, come on. It's just a matter of time.
What about Vicky?
This, in all likelihood, is some sort of interim kind of like thing. I mean, come on, she's a managing supervisor. I don't even know what that means myself. And it is what it is.
That right there says it all.
From the mouth of the boss himself.
He doesn't even know what it is.
And you know what? Personally, I think that was a little bit of a shot to the creative team.
And can I just say this? It's reasons like this as to why the television rating is dropping.
So poor.
And people are tuning out. They see this and they're like, are you kidding me?
It just makes them scratch. If we're scratching our heads, geez, imagine what people smarter than us are thinking.
Again, I have no problem suspending my disbelief. But when you just constantly make up job titles to keep the show going, I'm sorry.
And then you have Vince McMahon himself. Wasn't it just last summer that Triple H came out and relieved him from his position of chairman of the company?
We never even addressed that.
And now he comes back and he's, you know, don't even get me started on the whole thing.
Where do we go with this then?
What's the payoff for this? Are we going to have a match with Vicky versus AJ? Do you really want to see that?
We saw a bit of a cat fight, if I can use the term, with the two on Monday. They were rolling around in the ring for a while.
What, is this going to lead up to maybe a Cena-Ziggler match or something?
It's possible, because you got Vicky on one hand, you got AJ on the other. One thing I have to say here, John Cena and AJ, they're looking very close, are they not?
Well,
Something's going on. I'm not going to say what, but something's going on. And that might be playing a role into this as well. To me, there is no payoff with this. This is a side story to keep Cena on television, but out of the ring. I can't see it being much more than that. I think they were not happy with AJ in the role of general manager. That's fine, because I wasn't that happy with her in that role either. Neither were you, I don't think.
Well, creative did nothing for her. She was just a carbon copy of every other single general manager that came before her.
Yeah, they didn't handle it properly right off the bat, and that killed the momentum for it. And I think Vince realized that, and that's why Vince didn't hesitate to change it up. Going with Vicky Guerrero, though?
I don't know. I think there could have been much better choices. I mean, yeah, Paul Heyman I think would have been cool, but I think it would have been also kind of cool to see maybe somebody like Mick Foley come into the role. Or how about even like William Regal? It would have been nice to see William Regal come back, because he did great when he was general manager.
You bring up a good point, though. Paul Heyman is kind of wrapped up in this triangle with Vicky Guerrero and AJ. Where does Paul Heyman fit into this? Do you see him gaining power in any sort of way?
I don't know. Maybe we can now see kind of like a power struggle between Heyman and Vicky Guerrero, and maybe this is where the heel stable that we were mentioning before would come into play, where they're kind of like a renegade stable going against the rules, kind of bucking Vicky's authority type thing. And
it's very interesting, isn't it?
There is good possibilities, but I think from what I've seen so far on Raw this week, we might have a candidate to beat out Kane, Cena, and even Zack Ryder.
Really, eh? For worst storyline?
For worst storyline of the year. We could have a possible candidate.
I thought of a good one the other day, and it's escaped me as to worst storyline of the year that beat out Kane, Cena.
The only other storyline that I could think of that would beat out that one would be the Claire Lynch fiasco over in TNA. That was just horrible.
This one, I mean, I'll remember it and I'll bring it up on a future episode. But anyways, I digress. Hell in a Cell, another match at the upcoming pay-per-view this Sunday. Sheamus versus Big Show.
Yeah, I'm actually quite excited for this match, because out of all the matches on the card this Sunday, this one has definitely had the best build-up. It's like they put these guys together right after Night of Champions, and they've had a good 6-week build-up. It's been, they've done it old school style, where they've kind of built it up as like the bro kick versus the knockout punch. Mm-hmm. So I'm a Big Show fan myself, but I'm excited to see how this one's going to go.
Here's Sheamus and Big Show from this past Monday's Raw.
Come on, Josh, look. I don't worry about what may or may not happen every time I step into the... There he is.
Put a doll in my face. You better get serious real quick. See how your brawling buddy went flying? Same thing's gonna happen to you at Hell in a Cell this Sunday, because I will knock you out and take that championship.
It should be a very good wrestling match, James. Two big heavyweights going at it in the ring. I think they've done a decent job of building this up heading into the pay-per-view. I didn't mind the brogue kick versus
knockout punch
when they used that punching bag
that
machine.
That was cool. I like that.
On SmackDown. That wasn't a terrible idea. The one thing I have an issue with these days is it seems the only way you can build up the Big Show is by just having him come out and knock someone out. And that's it. And to me, that's kind of what I've witnessed here.
And you know what? Hey,
week after week is Big Show coming out, laying the knockout punch to someone, and then walking to the back.
I'm completely fine with that, because that, to me, is 100% believable that you're going to have a guy like Big Show come out and just, knock the crap out of somebody and leave. It totally adds to the mystique of the heel Big Show. But the thing that really bothers me is, man, this character that Sheamus is developing into just... he's really starting to annoy me. Could you get any more?
Oh, you got the perfect description.
Childish Cena-like character. Like, he is the John Cena of SmackDown.
I love that.
He really is.
I know. I agree. He's become so over the top.
Sorry, that whole segment that we just played a clip from with the brawling buddy and stuff like that.
And he was holding a teddy bear up to Big Show's face.
It just made him look so stupid.
A clear marketing attempt to get the kids to buy it. Not to mention he's thrown to tout videos up on the Titantron. I know you're a company man and the WWE loves that, but the fans, they pick up on that stuff. The kids must love Sheamus. Let's not kid ourselves.
No,
they do like Sheamus as much as they love John Cena. But for me, over the top cheesiness does not work for someone my age. So again, there's going to be wrestlers that cater to me, and there's going to be wrestlers that cater to the kids. And it seems that Sheamus is going in that direction.
Well, we also can't forget about the big X factor with this match as well.
Which would be?
Dolph Ziggler and his Money in the Bank briefcase.
I would be personally disappointed if Dolph Ziggler cashes in his Money in the Bank and wins right now.
Well, I mean, there's so many different possibilities with the way that this match could go. You could have Sheamus win, and then Dolph Ziggler comes out and cashes in the Money in the Bank.
Here's a question for you. Sorry to interrupt. I was going to ask, can Dolph Ziggler only cash in that Money in the Bank briefcase for the World Heavyweight Championship?
Yes, it's only for the SmackDown title. It can't be for the WWE title.
Yeah, see, that's just... When Ziggler becomes champion, I want him to be the WWE champion. Well, I don't want him to be the World Heavyweight.
He needed to have that red briefcase, but unfortunately, Cena got it and lost it, so...
Interesting.
But yeah, I mean, like, there's so many different ways that this match could go. Like, you know, you could have Sheamus win, or you could have Big Show win, and then Ziggler comes out, cashes in his briefcase and wins, or you could have, you know, either guy win, and he doesn't come out, doesn't cash in, or...
What about Wade Barrett? We saw Sheamus versus Wade Barrett leading up to Hell in a Cell.
That's another kind of outside influence that could play a part in this match. Maybe you have Big Show wins a match or something, and Ziggler comes down to cashes in his briefcase, but then maybe Wade Barrett comes in, stops him from winning the title, and then that'll set up like a fatal four-way at Survivor Series, maybe. You know, you got Sheamus, Big Show versus Wade Barrett. So you're suggesting that
maybe this isn't done come Hell in a Cell.
It's completely possible.
I would have liked to have seen Sheamus versus Big Show in a Hell in a Cell match.
Really?
I know. That we only have one Cell match this pay-per-view.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Is this match going to be Hell in a Cell?
Those two could have put on a really good match in the Cell. I don't know how well Big Show would do, but I know Sheamus would deliver. But, you know, you do one choke slam from somewhere, or you do one devastating maneuver from the Big Show, you know, he would look good in the Cell match. I personally would have loved to seen two huge guys like this go at it in the Cell.
But here's something I'll throw at you. What if instead of having Brock Lesnar interfere in the title match, what if you have Big Show interfere? And it's revealed that he's aligned with Paul Heyman. And so now you've got a stable, and this is after Big Show's won the World Heavyweight title.
Okay.
And now you've got a stable with Big Show and CM Punk, both champions, aligned with Paul Heyman. What do you think of something like that?
Interesting scenario.
Or you could have Brock Lesnar come out and then have it revealed that Big Show is with Heyman too, and then you got a super, super stable. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud. I'm just throwing stuff out there.
That's what this show's all about, my friend.
By the fans, for the fans, man.
No, it's good. I'm not disappointed with this match. I think it'll be good. I think it could have been better by putting him in a Cell, but regardless.
You know, who knows? They could still do it. They could add the stipulation on the night of the pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. You never know.
Who are you taking?
Honestly, I have a feeling that Sheamus is going to retain the belt.
So do I. Just because they...
I'd really like to see Big Show get the strap, but...
Just because they love Sheamus. But I will say this.
He's marketable.
I will say this, though. His winning streak did come to an end this past Monday.
Yes, that was the first time I've seen Sheamus get pinned...
Because of the Big Show.
In a long time. Yeah, because of the chokeslam by the Big Show.
Interesting. Remember that heading into this Sunday.
Quickly off topic here, what did you think of that whole main event on Raw with the champion versus champion in a lumberjack match?
Not a fan.
I wasn't a fan either. I mean, that's a big match, man. A champion versus champion match, that's a big match. And we just saw that on main event like 2 weeks prior.
The next time I see a champions versus champions match, I want it to be for both titles.
A unification match.
The champion versus... No, not even that. No, you don't even need to unify the belts. Let the winner have both belts.
An undisputed champion.
No, let the winner wear both belts.
Yes, an undisputed champion.
Oh, I thought you meant like eliminating one and combining them.
No, an undisputed champion.
Yes, one guy that walks around with both belts on his shoulders.
Interesting.
I'm sick of these champion versus champions match that are non-title. I don't want to see that. I want to see someone walk around with both belts. For that reason alone, I didn't like the main event. The other aspect was the lumberjack match. And the one thing I don't like about the lumberjack match is, to me, it just looks awkward.
It really takes away from the match that you're supposed to be paying attention to.
These guys just look weird. They look uncomfortable standing around the ring.
But you know what? I bet you those guys that are standing around the ring, they love lumberjack matches. Because that's a chance for them to get on TTV. Mm-hmm. I mean, you saw guys like JTG, Mason Ryan made his big return. Well, I wouldn't say big return, but you saw him on TV again.
Saw did you say Ted DiBiase?
Oh, no, I didn't. Yeah, that's another one. Ted DiBiase. That's the first time you've seen him on Raw in, jeez, got to be a year.
Wasn't a big fan.
But you're right. I'm not a fan of the lumberjack stipulation. I find it really convolutes the match, makes it hard to follow. Mm-hmm. And we'd just seen it on Friday on SmackDown. So why would you give us the same match again in the main event on Raw?
Same reason why we saw Ryback versus The Miz for a second time.
Yeah, jeez.
How about the tag team tournament finals that happened on Raw this week with Road Scholars defeating Sin Cara and Rey Mysterio? It now will be Road Scholars versus Kane and Daniel Bryan at the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view.
I have a feeling that the Road Scholars are going to come out on top in that match, but it's going to be due to interference by Matt Stryker. You watch.
Interesting.
Matt Stryker is going to come out and he's going to get muddled into the finish of the match somehow. He's going to end up costing Kane and Daniel Bryan the match.
Why do I have this odd feeling that Matt Stryker is the modern day Pete Rose?
That Kane's just going to have
it's going to be comedic.
This illogical beef with forever.
I think Matt Stryker's role at Hell in a Cell will be comedic. That's my opinion. I can't see him influencing the actual outcome of the match.
No, I totally can. I totally can. You watch. All right. You watch. I'm calling right
now.
So,
for the tag team belts, you're taking Road Scholars.
Yep.
I'm going to go with them as well. And then you're going to see Kane and Daniel Bryan, go at it with
each other. That'll set up another program with Kane and Daniel Bryan.
All right. So, interesting. What about the rest of the show? Should we do predictions now or should we wait a little
later? Why don't we wait till later when we've got our third man with us?
Our local wrestling insider?
Yes.
Speaking of local wrestling, now would be a good time to kick it off. We're talking Halloween Hell, ECCW happening this Saturday.
Big show, big, big show.
The local wrestling scene.
The local wrestling scene, bringing you up to date with the promotions all over the Pacific Northwest.
All right, James, 2 weeks of coverage leading up to Vancouver's most entertaining independent wrestling show of the year.
This is the indie WrestleMania of Vancouver.
Halloween Hell. First of all, you want to check it out. It's happening this Saturday, October 27th, from the Sapperton Pensioners Hall in New Westminster.
318 Curie Street. That's the address.
Oh, wow. You are on the ball. And if you want tickets, more information, www.eccw.com, Elite Canadian Championship Wrestling. And we are doing 2 weeks of coverage. Tonight, very special because we had a chance to speak with, or not you and I should say, but Corey Basso, our local wrestling insider, had an opportunity to speak with Moondog Manson and KC Spinelli, two very fine talents in ECCW.
Great personalities, great wrestlers.
Now let's just quickly run down the card here, James. Or do you want to do that after?
Let's do it after with our third man. Okay. We got him online.
Fair enough.
Well,
who's producing this show tonight, by the way?
That would be me, of course.
All right. Well, like I said, Corey Basso, our local wrestling insider, couldn't join us in studio tonight. But earlier today, he did have an opportunity to talk with current Supergirls champion, KC Spinelli. And he basically wanted to get the inside track on what makes Halloween Hell so special. Here's Corey Basso with KC Spinelli.
As one of the, I want to say, newer wrestlers to the ECCW, because you are fairly new as far as wrestling tenures are concerned, what were your first impressions of Halloween Hell when you got started here in the ECCW?
When I first found out about Halloween Hell, actually, I was still a fan, so I was able to sit in the front row and enjoy it. So I think, out of all the shows that we do all year, it's the number one show where it's like, the fans have a choice. They can bring weapons. You're very much included in it. And the fact that there's a cage always puts one over. So, when I first got there, I asked everybody, how does the cage come down from the ceiling? And I learned very quickly that on the indie scene, cages don't come down from the ceiling like TV. But you have to do the hard work and put it up. But that's all right. That's fine. So it wheeled me in. It was probably the best thing I know that ECCW did besides make good wrestlers.
Halloween Hell must hold a special place for you in your heart, with last year's event being the show where you picked up your first Supergirls title, defeating Nicole Matthews. It's been almost 1 year since that day. I think it was October 29th last year. Of course, this year's show on the 27th. How has the title reign been over the year, and how do you feel going into, well, obviously not on the card for this year's Halloween Hell, but how do you feel now that 1 year is gone with that title reign?
You know, it's kind of bittersweet. I kind of wish that, you know, either it was a week earlier or a week later, and back in Surrey, actually, to tell you the truth, so I could partake in it. But it is bittersweet. I am going to miss it this year, which is kind of unfortunate because I'm really looking forward to some of the matches that they're going on. It's a big year, which is kind of, again, difficult for me to say because I should be saying that about last year. As you said, I did win last year. It was my first championship ever in any of the promotions that I've been to, so it was a really big deal. And the year before that also, I was in the costume battle royal and I dressed up as Snooki, which was again a little unfortunate, but I pulled it off and I actually won. I was the Shawn Michaels that year, where I was the first guy out and the last guy standing, and I got to drop kick Stone Cold off the top rope, and then got to celebrate with beers inside the ring. Like, yeah, Halloween Hell holds a real close spot to me, for not just it being, you know, like one of the first shows that I got to partake in, but also winning my belt at. So, again, it's bittersweet. I would have loved to have been there for it, but... Yeah, no, and the rain's been pretty good. I kind of wish there was a few more girls who felt that they could take it from me, because then I'd, you know, have more girls to wrestle.
Yeah.
But, I'm really happy for Nicole Matthews. She's doing her thing right now, kicking boys' butts, which is totally okay with me. I don't mind relaxing and just holding on to a belt for a little bit longer. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Now, I have to be careful how I ask this next question or I might get a slap upside the head. But is Halloween Hell tough from a women's wrestler perspective? You've got so many fans coming in for the weapons, the costume battle royal, the blood, the guts, the carnage. Do you feel sometimes that it might be tough from a women's perspective going up against all that stuff, and you guys are maybe overlooked, maybe overshadowed? Or do you think that gives you guys more incentive to really go out there and steal the show because you don't have all the tacks and all the props to go with it? You know what I mean?
It's difficult to say. On one hand, like, for a girl, it's hard on every show to be that standout. You hear a lot of people say, like, when the girls are up, like, oh, I'm, you know, going to buy a t-shirt, or I'm going to the bathroom. It's, you know, it's the take a break match out of all the matches. So, with every show, that it's kind of hard, but with this one, I mean, it's very different because, would I love to, let's say, be in a cage match? For sure. Why not? But it's not really offered to the girls because the guys, you're right, they do take over that day. Like, you know, we had El Fantasmo, was it last year, where he dove off the top of the cage? Like, these guys one-up each other every year. Or if you're El Fantasmo, you one-up yourself all the time. So,
But does that make it tough, though, knowing that you guys, like you say, if you could fly off the top of that cage as Casey Spinelli, you would, but kind of because you guys have been kind of limited to your options. Like, there has been the Falls Count Anywhere matches with Tennille and Nicole and the tables matches and that kind of stuff, but do you almost wish that they gave you guys a bit more to work with just outside those three ropes and the turnbuckles?
I'll tell you what, I mean, coming from, and this is just my perspective, I always say, you know, look at me like one of the guys, I want to be taken on like one of the guys, and blah, 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 equal rights, whatever, burn the bra. But at the end of the day, like, we're a lot smarter than the boys, so, like, do I want to be, like, pulling thumbtacks out of my butt all night? No. Do I want to trust that Nicole Matthews or, like, let's say Enid Urquhart, for that matter, would catch me as I do a dive off the top of the cage? Like, no. To me, wrestling is not all about the gimmicks. I mean, it's good that we have a show once a year that has it all. Like, I mean, you get everything in Halloween Hell. You get the thumbtacks, you get the fans bring the weapons, you get the cage. You'll get so much that I'm okay with that, having it that one day where it's just me, the girl, and the match. Boom. No gimmicks. Because at the same time, like, let the guys have it. I know that I don't want to bleed. And as much as I dislike wrestling some people, I know at the end of the day, I don't want to make them bleed. So, no, I mean, let the guys have this one. I'm cool with it. I mean, like, maybe let's say in, I don't know, I was going to say February. Let's pick February. If it's February, you want to have a thumbtack match? Sure, I'll be good for that. But, you know, leave Halloween Hell up to them. They'll do it better. I don't really think that it bothers me too much. Again, it's just my answer. Maybe Nicole Matthews feels different about it. But, yeah, no, I'm okay with just having the three ropes in the ring. Definitely.
Awesome.
Yeah.
A little bit of a letoff then.
Yeah.
Why is there – I'm sure this is all up to the bookers, and I'm just asking for your opinion on this one. Why is there no women's matches on this year's card, and are you a bit disappointed by that?
Oh, well, let's see.
I know Nicole is doing some shimmer stuff, and yeah. Sammy is over in Edmonton or wherever the heck she is. But do you know why you guys? But did they not try and at least pull a few girls together to have at least one match or something?
Well, both myself and Nicole Matthews are going to be down at Shimmer.
Oh, okay, okay.
Being, you know, international superstar. Even though I don't know, can you call the U.S. international? So yeah, I think this is the first year actually too in like I would say at least the last 3-4 that I've known about, that this is going to be the first time that there's not a girls match. So it'll be really interesting to see how the fans take it. Like, I mean, everybody does shit on the girls matches, but like for this one day, let's say no girls match, is it going to make a difference to them? I don't really know. I hope so, but I don't really know why they didn't pull a bunch. I mean, the top three girls in this company, which are Nicole Matthews, myself and Sammy, like we're busy with our other things, so.
No, totally.
It's no shot.
I'm not harping on you guys. I'm just trying to say that, like, you say that, you know, would fans miss it? I don't even really know. It was the first thing that I noticed was, hey, there's no women's match on this card.
Oh, so. Yay. Well,
so,
thank you.
There's one. We got one.
Yeah.
One final question. Obviously, you're not going to be at the event. We just discussed that, but I'm sure you've had a good time to look at and see the card building over the last couple months, and now you've seen the final card going into the show as a fan and as a friend of most of the guys in the ring who are going to be putting their bodies on the line. What match are you looking forward to the most? Maybe from an in-ring perspective, like, cause you know how well these guys work in the ring, or maybe from a story perspective, what are you looking forward to the most?
Yeah, I'm not actually sure of all the matches and like who's in, cause I know that there's so many teams in this and that. But anything that has the Stallions in it, Stallions are going to go over for sure. Not only because Tony Baroni is my cousin, we should definitely put that over.
It's a family affair.
They're just sick right now. Like, I have no idea why they're not tag team champions. I would say it's cause of Scotty, and his cheat along partner, Jamie Diaz, and all their, you know, non-sweetster kind of crap, but you know, they're definitely guys to watch the end of this year and all of next year. I totally just think they're going to hit the moon with this. They're amazing to watch. Again, being like friends with them, they're hilarious, and then watching them in the ring, I just think they're amazing. But as a fan, I would probably have to say the whole Randy and Bish angle we got going on right now.
Mm-hmm,
like
mm-hmm.
That feud has been building, and now, I mean, like, Randy's crazy. Randy's just straight up crazy, in a good way.
Yeah, I know.
But now, I mean, you know, he did win against Bish, so now I kind of want to see Randy take this a little more serious. He, you know, he definitely had to, like, shape up in the match and get his shit together and pull off a win, which I'm really happy that he did. But I don't want him to go back to, like, the old Randy where it's, you know, everything's all fun and games. Like, I want you to be serious about this now. Don't go in this knowing that you just beat Bish, because Bish, I mean, again, now too, you're talking to like the monster giant here.
Yeah.
And he's going to go in there, piss his house. I mean, he lost his hair, and you know how long he's had to grow that
I know.
And he's hated growing it out. So like, now you've just done that all for nothing. Like, congratulations. Every day when you woke up and you were like, oh, I hate this hair, it like is all for nothing now, because now you've lost it all. So I know Bish is going to come out there hard, and then again, it being at Halloween Hell, you know, you don't know what's going to happen between it. It's going to be ridiculous.
Awesome. Thanks so much for the time, Spinelli. And hey,
no
who you fighting in Shimmer?
Actually, I don't know my bookings yet, but I'm quite excited.
How many days are you going over there for?
It'll be Saturday and Sunday tapings, and then there's 2 DVDs that we tape there. So it could be anywhere from 1 match to 4 matches.
And they do the tapings in Chicago, correct?
They do, yes.
Okay, cool. Fantastic city. Love Chicago.
Yeah. Windy Cindy all the way, baby.
For sure. Well, have a great time. Thanks so much again for the interview, and hopefully we can catch up down the road sometime.
Thank you very much, for sure.
There you go, Casey Spinelli. What an excellent interview that
was, James. She's smart as a whip.
I should stand corrected. It is no longer called the ECCW Supergirls Champion. It is the ECCW Women's Champion. They've changed the name of the title.
I guess maybe that was when they changed the name of the company. They
change the title name?
Yeah, I gotta admit, I'm a little. I don't know. I gotta admit, I'm a little disappointed that they didn't put a women's match on Halloween Hell on the card, because it's always entertaining. The women's wrestling in ECCW is night and day, I find, to a lot of the stuff you see on WWE television.
For women's wrestling, yes.
You know, a lot of the times I'm totally perfectly okay with the occasional week without a women's wrestling match. But one staple in ECCW is women's wrestling, and I'm a little surprised at that move.
Yeah, it's... what do you say about that? Mm-hmm. Like, I guess all the women wrestlers here in the Lower Mainland, they're just so good that they've been called up to wrestle it for higher things, yeah, I guess.
One of the wrestlers here in Vancouver is now wrestling at NXT, so it's proof that the system in Vancouver for women's wrestling is in...
very solid
It's
shape.
Very solid, and Casey Spinelli is right near the top. She's doing very well. If anyone actually wants to follow Casey Spinelli on Twitter, you can do so at Casey_ Wow. Spinelli. Let me try that again. At Casey_Spinelli.
Hey, at least your voice didn't break.
Yeah. Now, thank you to Corey Basso for conducting that interview as well. The other person that Basso got to talk with earlier today was a guy that's involved in a very interesting tag team four-way match at Halloween Hell. We'll get to it. But Corey Basso, he did have a chance to speak with the hardcore champion, the ECCW hardcore champion, Moondog Manson.
Okie dokie, Mr. Moondog Manson, you've been in quite a few Halloween hells by now. I think it's safe to say you're the poster boy for the event. How does that distinction make you feel?
Well, it makes me feel pretty good about myself. I'm pretty much the only person in British Columbia that can throw down year after year, and I'll probably be still doing it in about 20.
One of the staples of the show is the Moondog Manson Hardcore Invitational, which is usually always coupled with the Fans Bring the Weapons match. You've participated in damn near every one of those contests. What is the weapon that hurt the most when getting smushed over your head?
You know what? I'm trying to think back, because there's a lot of things that have hurt the most, but you know the thing that probably I think actually hurt me the most, and it wasn't actually something that hit me in the head, was it last year or the year before when Scotty Mack used that fire extinguisher on me?
Oh, yeah, that was in 2010, that was, I think, right?
Yeah, that went right into my lungs, and I couldn't breathe. I don't know how I got up and kept wrestling, but it was a rough one. If there was a fire inside me, he surely put it out.
Scotty, I talked with Scotty a little bit, I think a little while ago about that, and he said, yeah, no more fire extinguishers in ECCW after that one.
Well, you know, he's a dangerous fellow. He's a little short on the short side, so he's got to make up for it by doing stupid stuff.
what weapon has surprisingly been the lightest? You look at some stuff that looked like it would just tear your head off, but then maybe when you got hit with it, it was maybe a little bit on the lighter side. Anything like that? Like, were there any weapons?
Yeah,
you were actually happy to be hit with at the end of the day?
You know, I don't know if there's really any of them happy to be hit with. maybe those really cheap cookie sheets from the dollar store. Those are really nice. They're not the standard baking ones. They're no good for anything other than maybe getting hit in the head. I remember now, actually, I had a flashback. I just had a flashback. I do remember probably the worst thing I've ever been hit in the head with.
Okay, go.
Honestly, it was a pumpkin.
Really? Like a rigid old pumpkin?
Yeah, it was a full pumpkin. It wasn't even cut. It was just, I remember it smacking something. Somebody threw it in my face. By far the worst shot I think I've ever taken in professional wrestling.
Now, moving along to the next question, which fits in quite nicely, what is the worst injury you'd suffered at Halloween Hell Show?
You know, I don't think I've ever really had any injuries. They're just, you know, some cuts and lumps and bumps and bruises, and other than that, you know, I think I've been kind of lucky, you know. It's just usually my head kind of looks a little worse than usual, you know. Instead of taking a week for the cuts to heal up, it usually takes about 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Now, the show is in New West again this year after years in Surrey. You guys used to run shows at the Eagles Hall back in the day. Any fond memories of running shows out of there now that you make your return to the New West, albeit in a new building?
Well, my heart's always been in the city of New Westminster, because that's where I broke in, and, you know, that's where some of my largest matches ever happened, you know. The only time in my career that I've ever done a no-ropes barbed wire match was in the city of New West, and I tore that city down, and I'm all pumped up to get a new set of fans in there. So, you know, it's like, I know I'm going to miss wrestling in Surrey, you know, hopefully they get a start running shows out in Surrey sometime soon. But, you know, the magic that can happen in New Westminster is just amazing, because I just remember, you know, we'd have sellout crowds, and, you know, it was the center of violence, you know. It's where we put ECCW on the map was in that town.
Now, obviously a veteran of this event, as we've discussed quite a bit over the last couple of minutes here. What is your favorite all-time Halloween Hell match? I'm sure you've seen them all. So whether you've been in them or not, what has been your favorite contest at Halloween Hell over the years?
Oh, my favorite. I don't know if I really remember my favorite too well. It's probably not because I'm trying to block it on my memory. It's probably a little bit of drinking involved in that one, eh? I don't know, you know, they're all kind of the same, you know, and I kind of think back and I can't remember where I got hit harder here and there. And I'm having a hard enough time trying to remember what I did last week, let alone what happened in Halloween Hell like 5 years ago.
Okay, how about this then? Maybe something a little bit more manageable. What was your favorite contest from last year's show?
Same problem, man. I don't even remember.
Oh, my goodness, man. Oh, my goodness. All right. You know,
that's the problem. That's the problem is the fans want to see the ultra violent stuff and they want to see guys get whacked in the head really hard. And the problem is everybody's going to have to bear with me as I get older and I get stupider. So there's going to come to a point where I'm going to be doing interviews and I'm going to go, and you're going to have to translate that because I'm just not going to remember how to speak.
Oh, gosh. Well, that brings me to my next question. You're in the four-way tag team Chamber of Extreme Fans Bring the Weapons match this year. How can you guys get any crazier? You've managed to incorporate Fans Bring the Weapons now with the Chamber of Extreme, where there's no escape. What is going to go down in this year's Extreme and Chamber of Extreme? And should we just bring the paramedics out now?
Well, you know, that's the thing is, I know they're doing tag team things, but to be honest, I'm on there out there on my own. I hope I don't get confused and start hitting my own tag team partner. You never know. It's like, the bottom line, all that matters at the end of the night, I'm still standing, and I'm the winner of that thing.
Now, Moondog Manson, just to wrap it up, just before I let you go, it's the same question I've been asking everybody. I usually ask it to start the interview, but I'll ask it to finish the interview with you. What is your favorite part of ECCW Halloween Hell, whether it's from a fan perspective in your own mind or from a wrestler's perspective? What is the part you look forward to every single year?
You know, the thing that I look forward to, and I can tell you that nobody else does because it's something that's unique to me, is I look out there and I see all the people that have come out to watch the show, and there's a lot more people in the building than usual because that's the big show of the year. I know a lot of people like to say Pacific Cup's the big show, but I know in my heart that the Halloween Hell is always the big show of the year. And I see all those fans, and you'll see people that haven't come out all year round. They're just coming off that one night of violence because that's what they want to see, is they want to see violence. They don't want to see all those high spots. They don't want to see all those flipping around. They don't want to see guys doing chop fests. They want to see pure violence, blood and gut wrestling. And that's what Halloween Hell brings to British Columbia.
Actually, I got one more question just while I'm on it. I just figured I'll ask it. If at the end of the day, when you guys are both retired, I know he's been retired for quite a few years. If Juggernaut and Moondog Manson got together for an Halloween Hell Bloodfest, who would win?
Well, I don't know. Him and I, we've done battles up and down everywhere you can imagine in British Columbia, and probably one of the roughest matches I've ever had was against that man. And, I was lucky enough to win.
Oh, my.
And, we must have wrestled 45 minutes. You know, it was in a small town on the island. And we went 45 minutes, and we were flying off of things and hitting each other and smashing. And we probably could have gone another 45 minutes. We were just on fire, you know, bleeding like stuck pigs. But I know at the end of the day, he might win some and I might win some. But I think truly down deep inside my heart, I know that in the end, it might be, 20 years down the road, I'm going to still be here doing wrestling, and I don't know what he's going to be doing. I think he's going to be retired, and he's probably going to enjoy a nice, easy life, and I'm going to be doing everything I can to cripple my body up until I die, you know? That's what my plans are.
Oh boy. So you're saying this could be a possibility? Can we start some Halloween Hell rumors? 2014 Moondog Manson Juggernaut.
Possibility. I don't think he's that far away. I think he's only a plane right away. All he's got to do is come down to the building. I'll make sure that I'll do a match with him.
Oh my. Okay.
If you can get it booked, I'll do it.
Oh yeah, let's do it. All right, man. Thanks so much for the interview. And yeah, I'll see you at the show on Saturday.
Excellent.
Have a good one, brother.
I would say bring some booze, but I don't drink anymore, so I don't know, bring fat burners or something.
I'll bring some Perrier water. Perrier water and fat burners it is.
Excellent, thank you.
Have a good one, sir.
Take care.
There you go, James, the ECCW Hardcore Champion, asking to bring Perrier water and fat burners.
Every time I've ever seen Moondog Manson wrestle, the guy just bleeds buckets, man. That's like his signature is, this guy truly is a hardcore wrestler in every sense of the word. I mean.
You know he's going to deliver this Saturday at Halloween Hell.
Absolutely. I'm excited.
Joining us on the line live right now is the man who got to interview Moondog Manson earlier today, our local wrestling insider, Corey Basso. Basso, are you there, my friend?
I'm here, fellas. How y'all doing?
Hey, not too bad. How are you?
I'm doing very well, just sitting in bed here waiting for you fellas to call and sipping my cup of tea in my smoking coat, you know.
Oh, there's a nice visual. You're not Hugh Hefner, all right? You're not Hugh Hefner. So you had a couple interesting interviews today. Casey Spinelli, first of all, she was very excited about Halloween Hell. It's a bit of a disappointment that she's not wrestling in the show this weekend.
Absolutely. I think it's a disappointment that there's no women's wrestling on this show this weekend, but absolutely for Spinelli, who has had a pretty good year as far as her wrestling career is concerned, and it's a shame that she doesn't get to top it off at that year mark with the Supergirls title, que sera, sera, and hopefully we'll move forward in the women's division shortly after Halloween Hell.
And Moondog Manson, he's involved in a tag team match. Well, it's a four-way tag team match this weekend. Him and Danny Deeds are teaming up, is that right?
That is correct, you guys. In a Chamber of Extreme Fans Bring the Weapons match, so it's two of the deadliest matches you'll see in ECCW. Of course, Scotty Mac and Jamie Diaz defending their tag belts in a four-way against the Riot, which is, I believe it's Alex Plexus and Andy the Dreadful Bird,
yes,
against Moondog Manson and Dastardly Danny Deeds, as you mentioned, and the other team being Ray Brooks and Azeem the Dream. So that one will surely prove to be dangerous, violent, bloody, and with Moondog Manson, somebody will probably get carted out there in a body bag.
Who's your pick for this match this weekend?
My lock in this match has got to be Scotty Mac and Jamie Diaz. I think Scotty Mac has like 100% record at Halloween Hell. He just doesn't lose at Halloween Hell, and I don't think this year will be any different, so I'll go with the administration on that one.
So he's like the Halloween Hell Undertaker then?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
He is of sorts. He is of sorts, yes.
James, who are you taking for this match?
I'm going to have to go with Mac and Diaz as well.
Interesting. I'm going to go with Ray Brooks and Azeem the Dream.
I knew you were going to go with that one.
That's a lead pipe lock. What a lock. What's the sports action Bodog numbers on that couple?
What are the odds on that one? I got to call Vegas.
I'll give really good odds if you want to go up against me. How about we talked about this last week with Sid Sylum, who is actually in the match challenging the ECCW champion Jason Sullivan in a Three Stages of Hell match. That's going to be quite the match itself to watch this weekend.
Absolutely. You got your first stage of hell, which is first blood, so you're guaranteed some juice. Your second bout is the New West street fight, so you're going to get some weapons. You're going to get them in the crowd. They're probably going to go into the streets of New West. It's one of their signature trademarks back when they used to perform in New West at the Eagles Hall and heading into the streets of New West. And the third fall is still to be determined, so that's a toss-up. That could be anything very, very dangerous. That one's still to be determined, so I'm sure that'll be announced shortly before the match. If not, maybe they'll make it a fan's choice. They like to do that at Halloween Hell, getting the fans involved. So who knows if that could happen, but definitely that's one match you're definitely going to look out for.
Okay, let's take our picks here. Who are you taking for this match, Basso?
As we talked to Sid Sylum last week, I think he has a 0% record. He's the opposite of Scotty Max in Halloween Hell. I think it's Hollywood Hell. So I got Jason Sullivan retaining the belt. I don't like Sylum's chances. He's got his evil sister against him on this one. And like I said, Sylum's a flop when it comes to hell. So I got Jason Sullivan.
Interesting. James?
I got to go with Sid Sylum on this one.
Really? I'm going to go with you on as well. I'm taking Sid Sylum again on this one.
I think we're going to see a shocker.
Interesting. You never know. Halloween Hell is a toss-up every year. How about the Lumberjack match? El Fantasmo versus the King of the Yukon, formerly the Honky Tonk Kid?
I don't know what to guess in this one. They had a match at the last event, and apparently it went over quite well. These guys can put on quite the show together, as both are pretty decent wrestlers, maybe El Fantasma with more talent than the King of the Yukon, I would say, but both are very good in their character. Both are very good at interacting with the fans, and I think this could be one of those silent favorites. I did an interview with The Natural earlier this week, and he said that might be one to look out for as kind of a diamond in the rough. So it could be one hell of a match that maybe we not be anticipating. So I say look out for this one.
Here's a question relevant because we saw one on Monday Night Raw. Are you a fan of the Lumberjack match?
You know what? Like, in the past, I haven't been a huge fan of the Lumberjack match. Usually, they're very formulaic. They kind of all kind of seem the same. All Lumberjack matches kind of glom into one. But I think these guys could do something. These guys could do something a little bit different. So I'm interested to see where I go, but my hopes are still very average.
Fair enough. How about, finally, the Chamber of Extreme, the match for the NWA Canadian Heavyweight Championship, Bishop being the champion, taking on the challenger, Ravenous Randy Myers.
Oh, gosh, this could go any which way. Of course, I also did an interview with Ravenous Randy earlier in the week. I've been kind of doing the rounds as far as ECCW to promote this show. And Ravenous, he laid a heavy on me, man. This is a Ranarchist Funhouse match, and it's surrounded by the Chamber of Extreme. He said he's got four pinatas in the ring, two with tricks, two with treats. The referee is going to delegate which can be used by whom. It sounds like a wacky match that only Ravenous Randy can come up with. So I think this is going to be a real interesting match. I don't know even who to bet on, but
yeah,
I think it's going to be a real doozy.
It's just going to be entertaining. That's all that matters.
I'm going with Randy for my pick for that one.
You're going Randy?
I'm going Randy with that
one. I'll go Bishop just because he lost his hair, and I feel bad for the guy.
Apparently he's pretty pissed off.
Well, wouldn't you be?
I think I would be. He had a sweet Sammy Hagar look going there for a bit.
Although I got to admit, I'd love to see Basso with his head shaved.
No, it's ugly, man. You don't want to see with my head shaved. I'm serious. It's not a good scene.
I actually forgot one final match, and that was the Tag Team Gauntlet match for the number one contendership for the NWA ECCW Tag Team Championships. And that would consist of the Stallions, Artemis Spencer and Tony Baroni, taking on the Bollywood Boys, Gurv and Harv Sira, versus Team Live Badass. That's almost as bad as Team Hell No. That consists of Ethan HD and Mike Santiago.
It's Live Badass. Live Badass.
Is it Live or Live?
It's Live. Oh, it's Live Badass.
Sorry. And the well, there you go. See, that's how good the name is right there.
I'm reading it right now. It could be either or, could it not be?
I think it's Live. Maybe it is Live.
I just watched a promo on YouTube, and they were calling it Live Badass.
Did they? So, okay. Yeah. Well, you're doing your research.
Either way, if we're disputing it, it's a bad name.
I agree.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
I should have let the fans vote for the tag team name.
Yeah.
And sure. Also, the final tag team competing in this four tag team gauntlet match is the Greed Father, Jordy Taylor, and Red De Niro. What's really worth mentioning here about this match is that all competitors are just spectacular athletes, so this match should definitely deliver.
What's your pick, Corey? Who's your pick?
Absolutely.
Well, to be honest, I'm going to take the Bollywood Boys in this one.
I'm going with you, man. I'm saying the Bollywood Boys.
How about yourself, Basil?
I think the Bollywood Boys had their long reign with the belts there, and I think you might see the Stallions move into the tag team picture. They've been slowly moving their way up. What I like about them is that they both have the same gear, so they look like a tag team, so it's not just some slap together gimmick, and they're genuinely friends outside of the ring, so I think it would make for a good tag team run for the Stallions. So I'll go with Artemis Spencer and Tony Baroni, though, as a kind of an underground pick that maybe I'll just kind of whisper to myself, I'd like to see the Greed Father, Jordy Taylor, and Red De Niro take it. That being said, I got my money on the Stallions.
I personally believe, I've said this before, that I think Red De Niro is one of the more underrated wrestlers in the ECCW.
The most underrated wrestler in ECCW.
He delivers every time. He may not have the best look. He doesn't look like The Rock, but
amazingly talented.
Regardless, the guy is spectacular in the ring. I love watching him, so I'm really looking forward to him in this match. And Jordy Taylor, he's a very solid wrestler as well.
He's no slouch,
so,
man.
It would be an upset if these two pulled it off, but in my eyes, it would be a right move.
It's not out of the realm of believability.
No. Now, Basso, you've had the opportunity to interview numerous people within the ECCW all week, posting these interviews on the ECCW.com website. Did you happen throughout the week to What was the general feeling from everyone that you talked to regarding Halloween Hell being in a new building, moving from Bridgeview Hall to the Sapperton Pensioners Hall in New Westminster?
Well, I don't want to say it was overwhelming, like we're going to blow this show out of the roof in this venue. I think they're all being very realistic about it. They realize it is a smaller venue, and they do realize that they're in a city where whereas ECCW may have been the marquee name in the past in New West, they have been making their biscuits out in Surrey and out in Vancouver. Let's be honest here, guys. They're just starting to get back into the markets like Poco, New West, Abbotsford, stuff like that, Cloverdale. It's been Surrey and Vancouver for a while, so it's going to be interesting to see what it's like. I think it's a cautious approach. But I definitely think it's an optimistic approach. I definitely think they will get the numbers, maybe not the numbers that they would like just due to capacity in the venue. I don't think it's going to hinder the show at all, but I think the interview with Moondog Manson, which you guys played a little bit earlier today, really summed it up. He gave the history of New West. That's where ECCW made its name, and I think they can draw a little bit of that history and really make the show special.
I totally agree. Any other thoughts on Halloween Hell before we move on?
It's going to get dangerous, and I want to ask you guys, do you guys have some costumes planned, and do you guys have some weapons planned?
Well, we were talking about this at the top of the show, what we're planning to be on Halloween, and James doesn't really have a costume idea.
I'll dig up something for Halloween Hell, for sure.
I figured it's not worth dressing up when you're already this good-looking, so...
I said Callahan was a costume unto himself. Callahan's a costume into himself, so he doesn't need a mask.
No, if I dress up for
his
Halloween...
His face is ugly enough as it is.
they're gonna think I'm already wearing a Halloween mask.
There you go.
I think I might dress up as a pilot on Halloween.
A pilot?
Yeah.
See, that's something. That's a start. Oh, yeah.
What girl can turn down a pilot, right?
No, exactly.
All right, well, Halloween Hell does happen this Saturday. Sapperton Pensioners Hall in New Westminster. Check it out, ECCW.com, for tickets and details. Thank you very much to Casey Spinelli, and also thank you to Moondog Manson. And I should mention here, and I didn't realize this until a few minutes ago, that Moondog Manson is on Twitter, and if he doesn't have the best Twitter handle going,
I don't know
who does. He is at pro underscore wrestling. That's both Twitter handles tonight I screwed up.
Not bad, huh?
Yeah, at pro underscore wrestling. He must have signed on that Twitter quite early.
Oh, for sure.
Not
good for
bad.
Him, good for him.
Now, Basso, we want to switch gears with you while we have you on the phone. We want to talk Hell in a Cell. It does happen this Sunday, October 28th, from the Phillips Arena in Atlanta, Georgia. We're going to run down our card, and the three of us together, we're going to give our predictions, if that's okay. Unless you have something you want.
I think I can manage that.
Okay.
Yep.
Let's start we'll start from the bottom and work our way up. We're going to start with Randy Orton versus Alberto Del Rio.
Gosh, I'd like to say I care about this match, but I really don't.
I know.
It's got Del Rio in it, so
I want Del Rio. I hope Del Rio wins, and I hope Randy turns heel. There we go.
Oh, wow. You're expecting a lot here, I think. I'm going to go with Randy Orton just based off the fact that he's finished a movie, and they want to put him back in the mix right where they think he should belong anyways.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Randy Orton as well, just probably because they want him to look strong promoting his movie that he's just finished. So,
mm-hmm. And how about Kofi Kingston, the newly crowned Intercontinental Champion, taking on The Miz, who's just having a god-awful month this month. Basso, who are you taking on this one?
Well, I think now that they've got the strap on Kofi, I think they kind of have to run with it, because I think Miz's Intercontinental Championship reign kind of ended a little bit abruptly there, if you ask me, but I think that now they got the belt on Kofi, they better run with it, because if they put it right back on The Miz, that just doesn't make any sense. So I'm going to go with Kofi Kingston.
James?
Oh, I'm total agreeance with Basso there. It's got to be Kofi Kingston.
Agreed, all the way around. How about the Tag Team Championship match? Team Hell No, consisting of Daniel Bryan and Kane, taking on the Tag Team Tournament winners, Road Scholars, which is Damian Sandow and Cody Rhodes. Who are you taking for this one, Basso?
I think I've got to go Team Hell No there. They haven't had the belt that long, and they're still hot. Like, let's face it, besides maybe the Ryback and CM Punk thing, I think Hell No is the next hot thing in the WWE that the fans are really giving a crap about. I like Team Road Scholars. I like what they're doing right now, but I don't see the belts on them just yet. Maybe a program with these two, and maybe down the road the straps on those guys, because I'd like to see it. But I'm going with Team Hell No.
James.
See, I disagree. I'm going with the World Scholars, and I think it's going to be due to interference from Matt Stryker.
I'm going to go with Road Scholars just based off the fact that I think this is the time where Kane and Daniel Bryan blow up as a tag team and really go their separate ways. And I think that the I am the tag team champions line has run its course, and that this is the this Sunday is where it all starts to end for them. So for that reason, I'm going to go with Road Scholars.
What is going on here, guys? You guys are all picking like your own picks, and then I'm completely opposite of you guys. Are you guys wearing the same funky shorts tonight, too?
We're not even wearing shorts.
Well, Corey's wearing something funky, that's for sure.
Hey, let's just say I'm glad it's a radio show. How about the World Heavyweight Championship match, the Great White Shark, Sheamus versus The Big Show?
I think this kind of falls in the category of Orton and Del Rio. It's on paper, it's a great match, but I just don't really care. They haven't made me care. They played the punching bag game that you see at the bar to see who had the best finisher. So
you didn't like that.
You didn't like that?
I didn't like that. It seems so hokey. It's like, yeah, let's have a few beers and punch this bag and see who's the baddest. See, it's so weak to me.
Really? I think that was really good and really old school to kind of really sell their finishing maneuvers.
It is what it is.
I want to know how accurate that gauge was on that.
Well, obviously, it's totally inaccurate.
You know the answer to that question.
As far as the actual match itself, I guess I'll go with Sheamus, though. Lots of talk about no Dolph Ziggler on the card yet. Does he cash in? Mm-hmm. So I think we may see a Sheamus victory, followed by a Big Show beatdown, followed by a Ziggler cash in, but don't quote me on that. But I got Sheamus in the match.
No, I will quote you on that because I think that is what's going to happen. And I can't say I'm a huge fan of it, but that is my prediction as well for this Sunday.
I think it's going to be Sheamus going over Big Show. And like Basil said, it's going to be a Big Show beatdown. But I think Ziggler's going to come out, cash in his case, and he's going to fail, be the second person to fail, cashing in the Money in the Bank. That's my call.
How about the main event? The WWE Champion CM Punk.
The big one.
Taking on the Freak Ryback. Basso, your thoughts.
Oh, gosh, guys. I read a great article online, and I wish I had the link to it so I could at least give them some credit, the guy who wrote it. And he wrote a great little piece saying that pretty much the WWE creative team has booked themselves into an impossible angle where it's a lose-lose. No matter who loses here, somebody has something to lose. You're either going to kill CM Punk's great title reign and his great heel heat he's building, or you're going to kill the undefeated streak and invincibility that Ryback's going. They've literally booked themselves into an impossible match. I don't know what the finish is going to be, and I don't even have a prediction. I'm going to go with CM Punk retaining with some interference, but I just don't know how they're going to pull this off great and not make the loser look bad.
Very interesting take, and we beat it to death. James, who are you taking for the match?
Well, I think CM Punk is going to retain, like Basso said, but I think the finish is going to involve some sort of stunt that allows the match to end in a no contest, allowing both Ryback to retain to remain undefeated and strong while having the strap still on CM Punk moving forward.
And I'm going with CM Punk taking the victory with help from Brock Lesnar. I know it's an obvious choice, but I think they're going the obvious direction with this one. Okay, boys, Hell in a Cell this Sunday should be good. Now, earlier we talked that we had mentioned that we're giving away 2 tickets to Halloween Hell tomorrow.
And we have a winner?
And we have a winner.
All right.
He sent in an email. And let me read this email. And we're running out of time, so I got to be quick. Chris from Coquitlam writes, just wondering if any of you caught Saturday Morning Slam this past weekend. Great little fun match between Daniel Bryan and Tyson Kidd. It's sad that this 30-minute show aimed at kids is more entertaining than either Raw or SmackDown. The difference between Saturday Morning Slam and Raw and SmackDown is that the show has a clear direction. The show knows its audience and caters to it. And that was from Chris in Coquitlam.
Yeah, you know what? I'd have to agree. That's, I think, what makes Saturday Morning Slam this neat little show is that they know their target audience and they've really marketed towards it. And that match with Tyson Kidd and Daniel Bryan, that was such an innovative little finish there where Bryan kind of balled himself up and Tyson was rolling him around. So, yeah, it was really cool.
I don't mind that show. I think it's good, and I think it's good that we have a show catered to kids. You can't go wrong.
No.
www.smacktalkradiolive.com, facebook.com/smacktalkradio, and @SRL Radio on Twitter. Chris and Coquillum, you're going to Halloween Hell.
Congratulations, buddy.
We'll get in touch with you, and you got 2 free tickets at the big show this weekend. Corey Basso, thank you very much for coming on the show tonight, my friend.
Thank you, fellas. Where are my tickets to Halloween Hell?
You'll be buying them at the door for double the price. I've spoken to Mary, and she'll take care of that for you.
Yeah,
what a deal.
We told her to put our tickets on your tab as well.
Yeah, Seabass and the boys are paying.
All right, love you guys. Thanks so much.
All right, Basso, thanks a lot, and I appreciate the interviews you did. And thanks to everyone for listening tonight. Smack Talk Radio Live will be back next Thursday for just another outstanding edition. We'll see you later. I'm Corey Callahan.
And I am James McDonald.
Smack Talk Radio Live.